welcome to this week's Megan's MegaCan. The last one we're going to be doing for a while without any actual MegaCans. But we will get to that later.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, I'm here as always with, I don't want to call you my trusty sidekick because that implies a hierarchy, which is untrue. Because I definitely, in this situation, need you more than you need me. But is there a different term? Is there a term you would like? I wanted to say co-host. That also seems putting me above some form of station.
No, I think co-host is equal.
Right, good. Okay, Conrad Werner, who's here to talk to us about the news.
Again. Hello.
And hello, hello. And very excitingly, we have a guest. We have Mr. Carl Clancy.
Hello.
Hi, Carl.
Hi.
We're very excited to have Carl on. Carl is a comedian. You can see him doing lots of mainly improv around Berlin. Also a good friend of ours. And he's also going to be a special guest on our upcoming live podcast. It's a live podcast, isn't it? That is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is at the Comedy Cafe Berlin in Neukölln on the 7th of December, which is a Saturday, at 11 p.m.
Good. Got all those details right the first time.
I did it! You were looking at me with a vague hope, but ready to jump in and correct me.
And it's going to be a quiz format, which we don't normally do on the podcast, but it's an end of year quiz format, and we're going to have very special guests from the world of German political journalism that will be revealed shortly on Facebook.
Ooh, that's exciting.
I'm hoping to confirm a very, very special guest, but I'll settle for just normal ones as well.
Well, I'm excited. So it's going to be like people who really do know what they're talking about, and then people who...
We'll
play a different role.
I was hoping that this evening you're going to tell me everything I'll need to know, like basically give me all the
pretty much the sheet
notes.
Yeah,
fill you in what's coming up on the test.
If it makes you feel any better,
the only worry that I have is that when you meet the special guest, you'll just realise how much I've been winging it for the last 2 years on this show.
It's fine. I will always. I will, because the thing is, people might know a bit more than you, but do they have the patience and goodness of heart to explain it to a rowdy, drunk, nasal Northern Irish woman over and over and over again while she interrupts you?
Yeah. Well, we're going to...
You've really found your niche.
I know. I always wondered what my place in life was in the diverse media landscape of Germany. And I think I finally worked it out.
Awesome.
Yeah, so do come to that, December the
7th. Please
do. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, you might even get a MegaCan.
How is the MegaCan industry holding up the last month or so without
you? I don't know.
Are they still selling them?
They're not really talking to me, probably for my own good.
Okay. Fucking Jack Daniels and Cog MegaCan, and it just brings you from like a 2 up to a 9, and then...
Do you say it's like your equivalent of Popeye popping a can of spinach?
That's exactly what it is. A minute on the lips, a lifetime on the biceps.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, so
we are having
this week strange German drinks that I don't understand. And
so we've gone
one
to
of these,
the
I guess.
End of the
so what we've got,
scale.
We've got a Club Mate, which I sort of thought we haven't had, and it's a classic. It is the JD and Coke mega can in soft drink form. Really, it's highly caffeinated. It's based on some kind of mate tea.
Do you ever smell a freshly opened pack of cigarettes? Like, do you ever get something open and that's what it tastes like to me. It tastes like someone has steeped it in fresh tobacco.
Well, I think it's from that, like, you know, tea leaves, tobacco. Is there that much of a difference?
I love tea.
Right.
I love the smell of tea leaves. I used to love cigarettes and still wouldn't go near that shit.
Okay. Then we have a Spezi, which is a very, very German thing. You're a little, that German half of you, that 50% of your DNA just lit right up there, didn't it?
I was very excited.
Do you want to explain what a Spezi is and maybe your memories of it?
It is a mixture of cola and orangeade.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to get them, well, you still do get them, but the Freibad at the age of...
That's an outside swimming pool.
8 to 12 in Munich every summer holiday. I would be full of Spezi and pomace.
Oh, that sounds brilliant. Wish I'd had a German childhood. We're just having to like be resuscitated after being in the North Sea, essentially, on our summer holidays.
But yeah, they go very well together. And but I don't know, it's an unusual combination, I suppose. Some people feel cola and orange.
I have never come across it until I worked in a bar when I first moved here in 2008.
Yeah.
And a man ordered it from me, and I was unfamiliar both with German drinks and Germans because I assumed he was making a joke. And I laughed, and because he'd ordered a Spezi, and I said, "Oh, what is that?" And he was like, "Oh, it's like you take the glass and you fill it half with Fanta and then half with Coke." And I was like, "Ha ha 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 ha." And this thing, I don't know what it is, but it's got a couple. It's urine coloured.
It really looks like piss.
And it's got it's vegan, and it's got a couple dancing on it in Tracht, which is the traditional kind of Bavarian dress.
Yeah.
And they are cheersing with a bottle of this. I think it's obviously from the south. It's called Almdudler.
Yeah.
And I think it might be something like, oh, I think it's Swiss. It's got an Edelweiss on it. Or is that Austrian?
It's a sort of soft drink, but based with like a herbal taste.
Which of these beverages would you like?
Well, I'd like to try them all, to be honest. Well, except the Club Mate. I've never had a Spezia. And I'd like a sip of the other two.
Okay, well, we'll...
we'll have a Spezia then.
I'm definitely
Yeah, you have the Spezia, and you can definitely try the other two as well. So can you pass that over? Put your whiskey down for one hot second.
I wonder how it's gonna complement the Glenlivet.
You've got the thing. All right, I'm going to start with the Club Mate.
It's opaque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't...
it's the orange in it.
That.
Well, you drink Guinness, no?
I just thought I didn't expect it to be.
It does smell like a packet of cigarettes, kind of. It smells to me like, and this is a Club Mate, something that we used to use on the horses, but I can't quite think what. Some kind of medicinal thing.
Yeah, Almdudler is quite medicinal too. Try a bit of that.
This tastes like someone else's childhood. I'd drink this. This is nice.
Yeah?
I'm very surprised, yeah. Do you ever have like a dolly mixture at a party where you just like...
oh my God, that's delicious. Almdudler. How long have we been living in this glorious country and I haven't been doing...
Right. Carl.
Yeah.
Do you know what a prepper is?
Yeah, I do.
Right. A prepper has gone on trial this week in the German city of Schwerin because he hoarded over 55,000 rounds of ammunition. And it was also part of a network of fairly right-wing people.
Hmm.
It's an ongoing investigation. It's been going on for a long time, for like 2 years or something. They searched his home ages ago, and there were like 30 people. He was on he started a Telegram messenger group for other preppers, and they allegedly made a list of left-wing journalists and politicians.
Oh, I remember these lads.
Yeah, and like NGOs and things like that, and people were suggesting that this was like effectively like a kill list, or like this is what's going to happen for when, as the preppers call it, SHTF. That stands for shit hits the fan.
Okay.
And the Germans call it Day X, Tag X.
Tag X.
Yeah.
It's not as fun as shit hits the fan, though, is it?
No. And they were preparing for like a kind of civil war scenario. Perhaps caused by an economic disaster or a natural disaster of some kind. And it came out a few months ago, it came out that they also hoarded body bags, which is a bit creepy, and quicklime.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
and to make this even worse, Marco G, that's the name of this guy, he went on trial, he was a former police officer. In fact, he was a former elite police officer from like the equivalent of like a SWAT team in America, an SEK, like they're like for terrorist situations, hostage situations type police officer. So he was like an expert in weapons, and which is why, as part of the group, he was in charge of getting all the weapons together. and he's accused of not only hoarding a lot of ammunition, but also stealing guns from military and police stores, which is obviously illegal. And they found an Uzi. They found an Uzi in his house, which he was not supposed to have.
Is anyone supposed to have an Uzi? What's an Uzi? A gun.
Yeah.
It's like a one-handed semi-automatic. You'd know it to see. They're pretty cool.
I don't think I
You would. You would. It's got a very distinctive silhouette. It's got a big long magazine.
Yeah. Well, they traced the Uzi that he had to a German military store in 1993, where it was stolen from.
I'm equally horrified and impressed by this dude. He sounds like, you know, an action movie star, but an evil one, I suppose.
Yeah.
How do you steal guns from, like, I mean, sure, from the police when he was in the police, but how did he get his hands on a military, into a military weapons store?
Well, people don't know. Mm. A lot of the other people on this in this group, on this sort of Telegram group and the other things, were also members of the police or members of the state prosecution. Like, they it was a little bit corrupt. And he's the first of them to go on trial. They've also he's also linked to this other a Bundeswehr soldier who definitely was really neo-Nazi, who was allegedly planning to carry out a terrorist attack posing as a Syrian refugee. So he was going to.
Carl's doing a very confused
face. I mean, he's thinking outside the box. I'll give him that. Yeah. Was the idea to get murdered during this or to escape and have people think?
Well, he got caught in Vienna because he went through Vienna airport with a gun. And they...
Okay, not impressed by this guy.
He's called Franco R. The reason why I'm only saying the last names is because I don't know the first initial of the last names, because I don't know.
Are they all? Do they all have to have like Franco, Marco, and then?
And then their first initial. Yeah, because under German law, suspects and defendants and victims of crimes aren't allowed to have their names in public.
That's fair enough. Mm-hmm. I just quite like the Marco, Franco.
I'm feeling like if I was a right wing nut job and waiting for. Tag X. I feel like left-wing journalists would be the least of my worries when the shit goes down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're, you know, maybe be good as, like, you know, like sandbag barricades. They're not going to be a threat to you. Maybe that's what the body bags are for.
Maybe, well, they're just going to kill them and make them into body bags, into sandbags.
Yeah.
Could have been, yeah. So he went on trial this week, the Marco G, and then the trial of Franco R., is going to possibly happen next year, but he will be on more serious charges of planning a terrorist attack, which is a much bigger crime. Because this guy, Marco G, this is the weird thing, he is only being charged with illegally hoarding weapons, owning weapons that he doesn't have licenses for. That's the only charges against him. Not for like being part of a far-right terrorist organization. Like that is, I think, a little bit dodgy. But obviously, the prosecutors thought they had a much stronger case for these smaller crimes, but not for the big crime of being part of a terrorist network.
Being a terrorist.
How many bullets are you allowed to have legally?
Well, I don't know.
Less than 55,000.
Less than 55,000.
Well, some of them are classified as war weapons, which you're definitely not allowed to have.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone, to be very clear, needs a gun.
Anyway.
And if none of us had them, if they all disappeared tomorrow,
I feel like my family would be unsafe if that happened.
Yeah, like you are allowed to have semi-automatic guns if you've got, actually I don't know, in America you are, but you're not allowed to have automatic weapons. Like in America, that is illegal to own an automatic weapon.
But you can have bump stocks.
Yeah.
Which it makes basically the same thing.
Yeah, they turn a semi-automatic into automatic. But those in Germany, those are classified as weapons of war, as are like certain sizes of bullets and sizes of ammunition. And that is like totally illegal. And he had some of that as well. So that is why he's in prison. But I think it's a bit dodgy because I think that they would that would be a problem if, for example, these were Muslim people, I think it would be a massive problem. But anyway, yeah, so lesser charge for him. And this other guy, Franco R.,
So you think he's getting a bit of an easier ride on the terrorist thing because it's like white boy terrorism rather than...
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's obviously
he's just
what the prosecution...
confused and scared, guys.
Yeah.
You know? It depends on what the prosecution can... Like, obviously, they thought, we can easily get him on this crime, but it'll be more difficult to prove the other crime because we don't have any proof that he was planning something. Mm. But they were clearly part of a network, and the only reason they found this guy was because they were investigating Franco R., after they caught him with a gun.
Okay.
So that's the only reason. It's like a kind of...
Can I ask what the hell your man was doing trying to go through the airport with a gun?
I don't know.
Like...
I think the reason why he was posing as a... As, what he was doing was he was registering for asylum. Like, he was applying for asylum.
Okay.
And saying he was, like, from Syria. He was a Christian from Syria, and he was gonna, like, that's why... And he spoke a bit of French or something. Like, it was a bit, he didn't speak Arabic. He was, like, speaking a bit of French, and he thought, I'm going to pose. It was a bit of a harebrained scheme, to be honest. And he got caught. But the creepy thing about it is that he was actually also a soldier. He was an active duty, like, he had a barracks, and they searched his barracks
so
and everything.
Do we think we have a little bit, this is a relatively rhetorical question. The sort of Bundeswehr, the German army, got a bit of a far-right problem?
That is often an accusation that is levelled, and they often deny it.
Not all soldiers, Megan.
Hashtag not all soldiers. Hashtag not all men. I didn't mean to offend any white boys by my comment earlier.
Anyway, that's that.
I wonder, is there a big listenership amongst the Bundeswehr for Megan's Megan Cat?
I was like, maybe they could come on. No, I can't imagine that anyone who veers remotely that far away from my sort of politics or worldview would, unless they've got some, like, really weird stuff and they get, like, some perverse kick out of listening to some woman talk about opinions that they despise.
Or they're looking to add a few more names to their list, you know?
I think we're a ways off that. You never know.
That's when
you
know,
are a left-wing journalist.
That's when you know you've made it.
Yeah, I'm not on the list.
Oh. I
don't think so.
Do you know anyone who was?
2020.
Did they release the list? Obviously not.
Well, they had... no, they didn't release the... But they, the reason... this is the other thing. The way that they found the list was through police databases. So that this prepper network, they went onto police databases... Because they had access to them, because some of them were in the police, and they downloaded all the names and addresses, so the private addresses of politicians and phone numbers and stuff, and
this
so
is
that
really
they knew
bad.
Yeah. And they had like quite a lot of them, and then they were like, and because they also had body bags and stuff, it was like considered a bit of a dangerous situation by some people, but German authorities have been like, this is not, don't panic everyone, we've got this under control.
There's no innocent excuse for having body bags and quicklime.
No.
Whatever about, you know, defending yourself with guns.
If you search for those things on the internet, you might get a call. Anyway, do you want to hear some more stories?
Absolutely not. Weeping Christ. You can trust no one. The police are just stockpiling body bags. Sorry, hashtag obviously not all police. But, like, that's enough to be getting on with. One is too many.
Yeah, that's scary.
Using police databases and stealing guns.
It's kind of, how did Marco G get caught? Do you know?
Well, through this...
This
Telegram messenger network, and he was on it, and they found that he'd started this network, so they searched his house.
Because I was going to say, it seems like the only like one ray of light with all these right wing idiots is that they are in fact idiots, a lot of them, and are you know, prone to slip ups.
But it doesn't take an idiot much to like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Go and kill some.
An idiot with 55,000 rounds is still formidable.
Do you want me to move on?
What's coming?
Flags.
Flags. Outside. Flags. We're going to talk about flags. Brilliant.
Right.
A topic close to my heart, and it's not even just flags. Where are those flags?
outside schools.
Hey!
Well, the CDU, which are having a party conference this week, and what they do at party conferences is decide what the policy of the CDU is going to be.
Right.
So all the delegates from all over the country come together.
I feel like you should be there. Why are you not there? What's something happened?
It's a long story. Don't want to go into that here.
Oh, sorry. What,
I think I should be there too. But no, I don't. I don't need to be there. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm over
You're
it. I'm over
with
it.
Us. You're I'm over it. It's fine.
But anyway, so they're having a conference, and in the conference, they have these all the different regional parts of the CDU put forward ideas, and then the whole party votes on whether they want that to be the policy of the party.
Right.
Among them was the regional department from Baden-Württemberg. The south,
right?
And they said from a that there was a conservative school pupils association called the Schüler Union, and they come out
absolute crack merchants.
Oh god,
the Schüler Union, and they I spoke to one of them this week. They're like all teenagers and stuff, and they said we want
in age,
and
bless them.
And they said, we want to have a new law. We want want CDU policy to be that there should be a national flag alongside a state flag, so the Baden-Württemberg flag or the Berlin flag, alongside the EU flag, outside every single school in the country. And this is likely to pass. I mean, they're voting on this today or tomorrow, and it's probably likely to pass because they've got support from the leadership. And the argument is, I'm quoting here from Sven Fontaine, deputy chairman of the National Pupils Union.
Oh, Sven.
I interviewed him on the phone, and he was actually at school. He said, oh, sorry, I had like years on my lunch break and stuff. And I said, he said, I think it's an important signal in times when our national flag is being appropriated and denigrated by left and right wing radicals.
Mm-hmm.
Hate is once again being spread using our national colours. We're a country based on diversity, unity, justice and freedom, not on hate. And then he said, it's important that it happens at schools because schools mediate our values. It's at schools where you take your first steps on your own political development. And then he said, look at Fridays for Future, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, like, we should have that. I think that's a pretty good argument.
I think Sven. That's a lovely argument. Well done, Sven. On the one hand, I'm just terribly impressed with teenagers like getting together and doing some stuff. And I think that is a lovely sentiment. And I think it's, if it was just the German flag, I don't know, it's like to mitigate flags.
Yeah.
With other flags, the EU flag is a nice one to have, maybe the state one. And
I mean, I think it's a good argument because I quite like the German flag. I think the German flag is actually quite a good one.
God, we need to have this big Ida conversation again.
Because I did find it extremely offensive when the German flag was used by Pegida. Because it's all been going since 2015, when the Pegida marches were all over Dresden. And they were, like, really flying the German flag. And I think that...
Literally.
They were, like...
Literally and metaphorically.
And it was a bit... And the thing about the German flag is, because it's the black, red and gold one, it kind of has... Like, it started as a subversive thing in the early 19th century when there was this sort of romantic revolutionary students' movement who wanted to promote the national unity of Germany. This is before Germany existed. And they wanted
sounds like what Sven's after.
Yeah. And they were... And they were like anti-monarchists. It was considered like a republican flag as well, because in those days all they had was like kings of all these different regions.
Mm-hmm.
So it was banned for a long time. It was banned up until 1848, which was the big revolution across Germany. And then it became adopted. Like then it was sort of slowly adopted as like a symbol of German unity. And then the Weimar Republic in 1919. Actually adopted it as the official German flag for the first time. And for those 10 years during the Weimar Republic, for 14 years until the Nazis came to power, there was like this big debate about what the German national flags were. And on one side were the Weimar Republicans, who were saying like, we need to have like German unity. And on the other side was the nationalists, who became the Nazis, who said that our colours should be the black, red and white, with the swastika on it.
Yeah.
And then when the Nazis came to power in 1933, That's what they did. They got rid of the German flag and they put the swastika flag on. So I think the associations, the historical associations, are definitely like anti-Nazi. So I think it is a good flag to be proud of. And I think that is, it is offensive when the AfD and Pegida start adopting it as if it's like this is our nationalism. Even though I also don't agree that countries should exist anymore, but that is what I think.
What we're talking about really is reclaiming the German flag for its sort of Republican unified German roots away from the far right.
Do you think that's what people think when they see it outside of school or whatever?
No, what I think we need is a marketing campaign like no other.
This is
what we're going to do.
I always kind of think that like having a flag of the place that you're already in is like redundant, you know what I mean? Like, if you're in New York, every single subway car has stars and stripes on it. And it's like, there is no more American place in America than a New York subway station. So like, it's as if like, where are we looking, again? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we're in America.
If you're looking around New York and you need a flag to identify, like, you've never seen TV ever in your whole life. Yeah.
But you drive around Europe and you got a little DE on your number plate. Oh, yeah, that car is from Germany. Maybe even have a German flag, you know, whatever. But just the idea of having your own flag in the place where you are, it's like, yeah, we know. Yeah, Europe, Baden-Württemberg, Germany.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be in Baden-Württemberg and have any misunderstanding as to where you are. I don't know.
I mean, you don't really... It's not really necessary. Like, I don't think it needs to become a law, but I can understand the argument for it. I just think it's like, yeah. But, like, for example, in America and in France as well, you see the flag everywhere.
Yeah.
You see, because they're, like, really, really nationalistic. I suppose, proud of it. I'm proud of it because they think it represents certain values.
Yeah.
And then, but in Germany, it's like people are a bit, like, unless it's a football tournament going on, then people don't.
I'm probably biased because I'm from somewhere where the flag has been co-opted by people who I don't agree with. I've also seen, in a separate point, like during football tournaments in Germany, I've seen bars and cafes with like kein tricolor, or we pronounce it in German, you know, like no flags, no jerseys.
Oh, right.
Because they want to keep out, you know, football revelers.
Oh.
Which I think is kind of fair enough.
But, yeah.
By football revelers, do you mean people in the Venn diagram between German supporters and neo-Nazis?
I mean, this is the thing. I'm far from understanding, you know, the intricacies of like German national identity and stuff. And I just feel like it's probably better to like err on the side of caution. Having said that, like, I do love several of the German football jerseys. I've thought about buying them.
Mm.
Or like the 1991 is the greatest football jersey ever. There was a green one from like a couple of tournaments ago. And, like, something that I would maybe wear in Ireland, but I wouldn't wear it here, because I don't want, refugees looking at me and thinking, oh, he probably hates me, or I don't know. I just like the design and football.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, coming from somewhere where there are quite a lot of things about flags. Flags quite contentious, one of the more contentious.
The butcher's apron, as they call it, the Union Jack.
You heard that?
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Yeah, I don't know. It's from the kids. It's for schools. Maybe the schools all vote.
I mean, in Germany, I think it is like most Germans don't really like. I shouldn't really speak for most Germans, should I? But I think that. You don't see it around very much.
If we start making sweeping generalizations, where will we be?
I like more left-wing Germans don't necessarily like. They don't show the flag, and they kind of think it's a bit suspect to go around flying the German flag. So I'm sure that if it wasn't the CDU, all the other parties would be like, "Why do we need this? It's totally unnecessary." And although having said that. At the Green Party conference last week, the three Green Party leaders, Habeck, Baerbock, and the one that I've forgotten, wore black, red, and gold. Like, it was like they were colour coordinated. They were standing on, obviously, on a green stage, and then one of them was wearing all black, and one was wearing all red, and one was wearing all gold, yellow.
That must have looked amazing.
Do you want me to find a picture?
Do you know what the colours... Do they have specific representations, each colour on the flag?
No, I looked that up and they don't. Hmm. I mean, it's not like... I know that in France it's like it's the fraternity, but I don't know which is which.
Hmm. I've been told that the Irish flag is green for the south, orange for the north, and white is the peace between them, but that sounds not
sounds
true.
Like something they made up to try and appease us.
Yeah.
Mind you, I feel like I've heard that recently.
Hmm. This is the thing, though. When, like, some horrible group co-opts something, there's only so much you can do, you know what I mean? I think
all the school kids would like to design a different flag, and we have a big competition.
Hmm.
I don't know. I do find, a lot of flag flying.
It's the purest symbol of nationalism, which is inherently not a good thing, I think.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah.
It is.
Taking credit for, like...
I mean, yeah.
You're such a small part of it, I don't know.
And also, I mean, and the other thing, that there's an administrative problem with this law because education policy is, of course, always decided at state level in Germany. And that means that it wouldn't be that easy to bring in a law like that at a federal
Berlin
level.
Berlin has got no money for no flagpoles. They do not have enough places for kids to sit, let alone money to put three flagpoles for the state flag, the EU flag and the German flag outside every school. So I'm going to go with no.
No. You're no. There
Whoa,
you go.
Look at them. They look ridiculous.
Hang on.
They've really just dressed as the... Oh, God, and they're wearing dresses, like smock dresses. The yellow one and the gold one and the red one.
Yeah.
And he's just wearing black
pants as well.
And a thing. Why is he not wearing a black suit?
Arguably, they're dressed as the Belgian flag as well, because they're not lying on top of each other. Now, there's a follow-up.
But it's... Okay. That is an interesting, even though it was kind of a little joke, the way they were doing it, it is quite an interesting thing for the Green Party to do, to dress like that.
Yes.
It's Katrin Göring-Eckardt is the one I forgot before.
Katrin Göring.
Is that them trying to score points with, slightly more nationalistic Germans who don't have much time for them, or...?
Yeah, I think that they would also do... They would probably say they're also trying to reclaim the flag for liberal values rather than right-wing values, so they probably would, that's probably
I'm
why
not
they
sure.
would say
I think Germany is established enough without us having to... It's not like we're going, what is this? They're speaking German at the thing... We're in Germany. Germany's quite a thing now. It's not, 1860. When we were like, will we, won't we?
What's the story with the little, coat of arms that you sometimes see on the flag? Is that a difference?
With the little eagle on it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's probably... I'd be guessing. But it might be something to do with government or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I was looking because the one outside the Chancellery has got the eagle on it.
It always seems a little sinister to me.
Because it's a bit militaristic, isn't it, the eagle?
You see it on
I feel like Germany's fun with insignia might be over.
Yeah, see it on all the wines as well. Is it on the Rieslings and the Spätburgunders and stuff, you see these very militaristic looking eagles. Maybe it's just the region or I don't know.
Well, it's hanging in the Bundestag chamber. There's a huge metal eagle, it's 10 metres wide, wingspan of 10 metres, and it's hanging over the speaker's chair.
Are there even eagles in Germany?
Yes.
What, real ones?
Adlers.
We haven't killed all them. Bears
also,
are a problem.
This teenage lad, do you reckon, let's be honest, if he was getting a ride or whatever, he wouldn't have time to be taking phone calls at lunch break from...
I think that is very... reductive in our view.
I mean, I was playing Warhammer when I was his age, you know what I mean? Rather than hanging out with girls. I mean, I do really admire it that this generation of kids is getting politically involved. Yeah. Ours did not at all.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. As long as they're involved in the climate strikes, I'm grand with, I give them a bit of leeway.
If they want to, let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Berlin, again, has
that's the flag debate.
for these things.
Okay.
Oh, God, I don't want to talk about this. Oh.
The 5G.
Oh,
we'll just do. We'll just do 5 minutes on the 5G.
Why?
Do you? Because Carl, you are also a internet expert. Obviously,
Carl, can you explain to
what is 5G?
What 5G is, and also why in God's name we require it?
I tell you, I can and I can't. I've looked this up, read about it, and been like, oh yeah, got it. And then 5 minutes later, been like, wait a minute, what was that
about? Exactly how I feel about the Brexit.
It's like better like quality and download speed, but you need way more antenna in a much smaller area. Anything you've heard about like mass die-offs of birds is like bullshit, basically. I think there are genuine concerns, but there's not enough, I don't think there's anywhere near enough research to really... I don't know, Ben. You've been. I don't know. I think I made that clear.
This is what I understand. Just to explain, the reason why I'm talking about this is because the CDU are in a crisis over their 5G policy because of the involvement of the Chinese company Huawei.
Huawei. Who are they indeed?
So. Huawei basically got a monopoly on 5G technology. Like anyone who wants to do 5G,
that's grand, lads. You have it.
And it's really, really hard to build up a 5G infrastructure without using Huawei technology. The problem is, because it's a Chinese company, a lot of people are really worried that they will keep open so-called security backdoors to allow the Chinese state to exploit the. Like German or any infrastructure, And in America, Huawei has already been banned. Like Trump's administration has already said we can't allow them in. Germany is much more complicated because they already have a lot of Huawei technology. And now the sort of the CDU is like in having a crisis over this, and Angela Merkel has to like decide whether to allow Huawei to be active in Germany. That is the issue. And what I understand 5G is, it's like not just faster internet. Mm-hmm. It is like deeper internet. Does that make sense?
It's like
drones. It basically makes drones possible. It means like you'll be able to deliver like Amazon drones delivering things. They will be constantly be able to be steered through the internet rather than just. 4G, which is not as good.
I think we're grand. I mean,
it's like a quantum leap in internet technology.
This is from what I understand it as well. Like, it is just this huge leap from what we currently have to what is available.
I wonder,
and I think it's the point, the tipping point for me where it starts to all get a bit dystopian, like that kind of thing. Like, where does our kind of cognizance end? Where does the internet begin? And that kind of, like, really, it's able to anticipate stuff. And the speed is, like, it's almost immediate. Like,
maybe it's a good opportunity to take a step back and be like, you know, maybe the fact that, I mean, China will absolutely definitely leave security holes. And want to monitor us all. Like, that's a given, pretty much. Or we should at least assume that. Exactly,
people
Of course you would.
You want to get away with whatever you can get away with.
So why not, use it as an opportunity to be like, okay, do we need shit delivered, like, 5 minutes after we ordered with drones? Do we need HD video chat? I hate video chat. I don't need to look up someone's nostrils when I'm talking to them. I can stream HD Netflix, like, very reliably. Grand.
Yeah.
It's grand. It's pretty fast.
I would like to point out at this point that I never order anything from Amazon, but I did this week, and due to the vagaries of the German delivery, I don't want to even say system, I've not got either of those. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm choosing the wrong hill here. Bring on the drones.
I used to have a big problem with the delivery system here until I spoke to your brother, who got to know his local delivery guy from the place he works, because he uses it as a packet shop. And apparently, I think everyone at every level of the Amazon supply chain is getting screwed by Jeff Bezos, including the delivery guys, who have these like unreachable quotas. They end up working like horrible unpaid overtime. They gotta go up all these fucking horrible flights of stairs. So I'm now on their side, and if my packet doesn't turn up on time, grand. Don't order anything that you need really quickly. If they ask you to take something in, do take it in and be nice to them. It's not their fault. It's if your packet isn't arriving, it's, you know, get over it. These guys are on minimum wage.
They're going to be screwed over by 5G as well, because they'll be replaced by a drone.
And they'll be replaced, yeah.
Okay. DHL, though.
I don't know. But it means that... Doesn't it mean that, like, automated cars will be possible and automated buses and all that kind of thing? That's part of 5G.
There is going to be a lot of stuff with, like...
But they'll be coordinated better.
The how I heard it explained to me, which was in a gap in a Malcolm Gladwell podcast where he assaulted my ears with something I didn't want to hear, which was unusual coming from Malcolm Gladwell, with him in conversation with some tech person whose name I mentally forgot. And he was like, your sat-nav is going to be talking to the traffic light. I don't think we need that.
Oh, yeah. Like, and your fridge will be able to talk to the supermarket.
I don't know how to work sat-nav. It's impossible. I hate these stupid cars. I get into them in Canada. I mean, we all drive this, like, ancient car in Ireland that's, like, falling apart and smells of wet dog, even though there's no dog in it. It hasn't been for years. But you go to Canada and everyone's car is fancy. It's one of those cars you press a button to turn on and then it bleeps at you and you can't make anything work and the steering wheel. It's just a nightmare. We're getting too far away from, like, being able to do our own things.
Yeah.
Like adjust a car seat or direct someone somewhere.
Also, what a great way to assassinate a political opponent. Take over their car. Like any hacker or whatever, any programmer will tell you that nothing is unhackable. No security is absolute.
In the Internet of Things.
Yeah, yeah. If you have like a political enemy and enough power, you can drive someone's car straight off a cliff. Like easy, you know. I'm sure 99.9% of cases, driverless cars are better, and they're better for traffic, and they're better for fuel efficiency and a lot of things. But it's scary times.
But also, it will be like
cycle.
If your fridge will be able to tell when you're running out of milk, and will order new milk from the supermarket, and it will be brought to you by a drone.
I can deal with not having milk occasionally. You know, I've gotten this far in life with like having forgotten the milk.
It's
just going to create more problems.
Oh,
it's just going to, you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's just like
Jesus, no, don't. But then it's going to be like, yeah, but then we're going to be left behind, and then everyone's going to have.
But we are never going to be happy. Is the thing.
We're so not like, happy.
Yeah, just because, you know, just because you have to rummage around for, and I'll teach you in the dead of night for a bit of toilet paper, once you don't have to do that, there's just going to be more things that you're miserable about. You know, humans will find things to be miserable about, and maybe the more we disconnect each other. I know one of my Amazon delivery guys or whatever, DHL guy, is really nice, and we have a bit of a chat, and he's good crack. And
I'd love a chat if they rang my doorbell on the days I'm actually at home. I live on the ground floor.
I've made the mistake that, you see, I work from home, so I made the mistake of letting them all know that I'm literally always there. So I've actually had to stop taking in packets for other buildings because they pile up and the people don't fucking come for them because they don't know they're there because they don't always tell them. And you got to go to the other building and like, oh, this person doesn't live there anymore or they're away and you've got... Anyway.
You were quite involved in a different aspect of this story than we
You're fucking
essentially an unpaid Amazon employee.
I'm in the trenches with these guys here, you know what I mean? Having said that, I did order something recently, and it was great that it arrived quick. I ordered a new hard drive, but it came the next day. I'm like, how did that... That's worrying.
It's nuts.
But like, it was like I ordered it in the evening, and it came like the next morning. And I'm like several people had a really shit time sorting out that delivery, you know? Like... Have you read any of these exposés of Amazon workers?
I don't actually buy from Amazon very often.
That's awful. I try not to, but where else are you going to know? It beats going to fucking Alexanderplatz, doesn't it?
Just go to Karstadt for everything.
I don't want to.
Is it true that they wear Karstadt nappies?
Yeah, I think so. I've heard that. I saw a documentary about the JD Sports ones in the UK. Oh. They have an awful time. And if you're not speed walking everywhere, you get fired during your shift, you know what I mean? And people are like collapsing. And there was a story about someone dying during a shift and everyone got a half an hour break while they moved the body and then they just kept on going, you know what I mean? They didn't like... There was that was it. Like, some old worker died during the shift and they had to keep on working.
I didn't even know JD Sports still exist.
Yeah, I think it was JD Sports. One of these anyway, or Sports those. Direct maybe. One of these ones.
Sports Direct, that's the one with those big mugs.
I'm going to lump them all in together.
Oh, God. Go to Karstadt. Okay. No one is working at speed. They are happy employees, it seems to me.
Good. Relaxed.
The true Berliner style of let's go incredibly slowly and try not to smile.
I'm finding a newfound respect finding new for these people and for the Berlin world of life. Absolutely.
I love it.
Anyway, that is the news this week.
Thank God for that. Oh, that was awful. Was it bad? No, it was bad. Well, I'm quite pleased about, you know, teenagers doing things, but also...
Well, if you've enjoyed all that chat, then do come to the Comedy Cafe on December the 7th.
I have to remember all the terrible stuff that's happened this whole year. So, yes, please come and help me through the pain of it all.
And Carl is going to be one of our team captains.
You don't
I'm
think
very
these,
excited.
Are these experts going to be insulted by my very presence, do you think?
I'm hoping that there will be an interesting cultural exchange.
Okay. Oh, are they German?
One of them, hopefully, will be German.
If we I think it's trying to get German for
balance and...
It's going to be brilliant.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I think it's going
to
be
But with a modicum of guilt of kind of imposter syndrome of being in Germany at all, you know?
But you're working with the people on the ground of Amazon in Germany, so I think that's fine. Also, go to Karstadt. That is also
okay. Okay, I'll turn up with a Karstadt bag.
I love Karstadt. I literally go to Karstadt almost every day.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I like it.
Great. And these old department stores are closing everywhere. We need to maintain them. Yeah. I go in there to get like curtain things, and there's like where else are like streams of slightly elderly ladies going to go and talk for a long time with people who are selling them fabric. Yeah. Not that fabric, you know, it's like, it is a thing. And then you go to the restaurant and there's a bar downstairs and it's always very full and go to Karstadt.
Nobody told me there was a bar.
Yeah, there's a bar downstairs. I mean,
yeah, there's also like, you get like,
I'm talking,
it's
I,
got a good delicatessen down one, there, hasn't it? It's got good,
which I'm hoping is going to be...
It's good cheese selection.
Yeah, there's some poor woman who tries to get me to taste something on a cracker every day. And every day I say no because I'm not a big fan of things spread on crackers. But I think I'm going to have to say yes at some point. She's so nice. It's like every day. She's just like, wouldn't you pop it on? I'm like, no, thank you.
Maybe then she'll stop if you take it once, you know.
Yeah, I think she might just sort of faint with shock. She'd be like, you know. She'd be like, no. It's disgusting. Don't do it.
Yeah, okay. That's it for this week.
Thank you so much, Carl, coming.
Can I plug things?
Yes, that's what I was going
to
say.
Hey, the world is depressing. Come to comedy shows, drink alcohol, and laugh. Come to the Comedy Cafe Berlin anytime, really. Friday is always fun. There's improv. If you don't know what improv is, all the better. Come and find out.
Yeah.
Do it.
Rosiger Ecke Weserstrasse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Fine. Bye.
Fine.
That's that.
Done.
You have to say goodbye, Megan.
Oh, sorry. Goodbye, everyone. Stop making me laugh.